Shemor Yisrael, Shemor Sheris Yisrael, Lo Yavad Yisrael, Lo Yavad Am Yisrael.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present Chapter 20 of The Eternal Light. This public service program is prepared under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story today, written by Morton Wishengrad, features Charlotte Holland as Rebecca Gratz and Edwin Cooper as narrator. Following the dramatic portion of the program, you will hear a talk by Dr. Alexander M. Dushkin.
I, Rebecca Gratz, the city of Philadelphia, being in sound health of body and mind and advanced in years, declare this to be my last will and testament. I commit my spirit to the God who gave it, relying on his mercy and redeeming love, and believing with a fine and perfect faith in the religion of my fathers. Shaviti Adonai Lenegdi Tamid. I have kept the Lord before me ever.
And Rebecca Gratz died in a good old age and full of years and was gathered to her people. My name is Washington Irving. I knew Rebecca. You know her also, for she has not died. Listen, I shall tell you a story. It was in the month of August in the year 1817. I had gone abroad and had come to Scotland. And there I found myself with my friend, Mr. Walter Scott. And my friend Scott was perplexed.
Irving, it does not go well.
The book, you mean?
Aye, the book. It's clear in my mind, and yet, when I come to sit it down on paper, it will not unravel.
Put it aside, then. Turn to something else, Scott.
No, I cannot do that. It will be a good romance, I think, and yet it wants something.
Does it?
Aye, it does. Contrast. Irving, what could be a greater contrast to a story of the Crusades than the introduction of a character of the Hebrew faith?
I see, Scott. A Jacob or an Isaac to set against your Ivanhoe. A Rachel or a Leah to set against your Rowena.
Exactly.
I know no Rachel, but...
Yes, Irving?
In Philadelphia, there is a Rebecca.
Aye?
Rebecca Gratz is her name. Scott, it may be that she's a pattern for your character.
Maybe so, Irving. Tell me about her.
We sat together in the castle of Abbotsford, Walter Scott and I, and I told him what I knew of the story of Rebecca Gratz. It was a fitful story, pieced together from fragments I knew. But he listened intently. And when I had finished, he lit his pipe again and was silent. I left Scotland. In the following months, I learned with pleasure that Scott was to receive a baronetcy from His Majesty, and I'd almost entirely forgotten the incident at Abbotsford, when 2 years later, a package came for me.
I took the liberty of unwrapping it, sir.
Oh, thank you, Henry.
Begging your pardon, Mr. Irving, but that's a queer name for the book, Ivanhoe.
Is it, Henry?
That it is, sir. Only I forgot. This note came with it.
Oh, yes.
Bad news, sir?
Hmm? Oh, no, Henry, not at all. A note from Sir Walter. My dear Irving, how do you like your Rebecca? Does the Rebecca I have pictured here compare well with the pattern you gave me? What do you make of that, Henry?
Sounds like a message in code, Mr. Irving.
No, this is clear enough. Thank you, Henry. I'll ring if I need you.
Very good, sir.
I read Sir Walter's Ivanhoe. Yes. And I placed the pattern of a Rebecca of York over the pattern of a Rebecca Graffs of Philadelphia. A curious exercise. It made me think and remember. Remember the time a great happiness and a greater sorrow entered her life.
Come in.
Mr. Samuel Ewing?
Won't you come in, please?
Oh, you're younger than I thought.
Try not to be so disappointed.
Oh, I'm not disappointed, only I expected to find...
Samuel Ewing, barrister.
Yes.
Please sit down, Miss Gratz.
You know my name. Oh, thank you.
Of course I know your name. Miss Rebecca Gratz, Secretary of the Female Association for the Relief of Women and Children in Reduced Circumstances. Oh, I'm terribly sorry. It's absolutely inexcusable. You must admit, Miss Gratz, it does sound funny.
Well, as you say it, Mr. Ewing, it does.
Miss Gratz, how do you say it?
The Female Association for the Relief of Women and Children in Reduced Circumstances.
You see what I mean?
Yes.
I couldn't help it, Miss Gratz. Forgive me. You know, virtue isn't such a bad thing.
It's very kind of you to say so, sir.
Now, that isn't what I mean. Virtue's all right, but why must it be so humorless?
Hmm?
Women and children in reduced circumstances. Why couldn't you just say poor?
Oh. Well, sir, I'm afraid that I am responsible for selecting the name.
You?
Mm-hmm.
You don't look like... Well, you...
Thank you, sir.
Why did you select such a name?
Mr. Ewing, do you read Scripture?
Well...
Scripture does not say, happy is he who giveth to the poor.
Oh, I thought it did.
No. Happy is he who wisely considereth the poor.
Is there a difference, Miss Gratz?
I believe so. Giving isn't the essential thing.
Isn't it?
No. Giving with delicacy of feeling, that's the essential thing. I thought the word poor or the word needy would be more humiliating than reduced circumstances. I'm not quite sure now.
I'm sorry I laughed. You'll excuse it, won't you?
Of course.
Now, how can I help you?
Well, we need legal advice, sir. We wish to found an orphanage.
I'll do whatever I can, Miss Gratz.
Thank you, Mr. Ewing.
Rebecca Gratz and Samuel Ewing. In this meeting for them, a beginning of happiness and sorrow. They met frequently thereafter. They did not seek the meetings out, and yet somehow they were drawn together. Once Rebecca Gratz visited the church where Samuel Ewing's father was pastor. And once on a summer day, he found her standing idly outside the congregation Mikveh Israel.
I've missed you, Rebecca.
Have you, Samuel?
I hope you're not taking your legal matters to anyone else.
You seem very anxious to hold a client who pays you nothing.
I am, Rebecca. Is that your cantor rehearsing?
Yes. Listen. It's an ancient Sephardic hymn.
Sephardic?
Yes. This is a Sephardic congregation founded by people driven from Spain in 1492.
My grandfather was driven from England.
Hmm.
I suppose America meant a good deal to grandfather. And to your father.
More than you know, Samuel. Let me show you how much. Look closely at this wall. What do you see?
Just a wall.
Well, look again. Look sharply. You see here on the top, that crack here?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do see something. What is it?
Once it was a door. A secret passage ran from the altar through this wall.
Door?
Mm-hmm. You see, they didn't know what to expect in America. They knew only what they had found in Spain.
Ah, yes.
So they built a secret passage against the time of persecution. And then, when they had lived here only a few years, they walled the door in, just as you see.
Poor devils.
Oh, no, you mustn't pity them, Samuel. They were very proud and stiff-necked. Sometimes I think they preferred persecution to pity.
I'm glad they found their rights and their liberties here.
They didn't want that either.
Eh?
Neither rights nor liberty.
No?
No. Only right and liberty.
I see what you mean. Rebecca, you should have been a lawyer.
No, Samuel.
No, you are perverse. Why do you say no?
Well...
Yes?
Well, if I had been a lawyer, perhaps I would never have met you.
Rebecca, it's time for candle blessing.
Yes, Mother.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us by thy commandments and commanded us to kindle the Sabbath light. Rebecca, you love him, don't you?
I think so, Mother. I didn't know it was so plain.
I love you, too. That's why I could tell.
Thank you, Mother. What do you want me to do?
Only what you think is right, Rebecca. But try to remember that for us the house is a synagogue. A father and mother are high priests in a house of worship. We trust you, Rebecca.
Sometimes I wish you didn't. This way, it's as though the fate of the entire congregation was on my shoulders.
Isn't it? Everyone must answer these questions for himself. It isn't easy, Rebecca. But you will have to find the answer by yourself.
And even while Rebecca was pondering the answer to the question, Miriam Gratz, her mother, died on a Friday without the notice of an hour's illness. She was an excellent woman and perhaps as much prepared to meet death unwarned as any human being could be. Yet for the living, it was a grievous loss.
My father asked me to give you all his sympathy.
It's good to feel surrounded by friends. Everything is to be endured save loneliness.
Your dress, Rebecca, it's torn.
Not torn, General, cut. A cut to the width of 4 inches in the garments of the mourners.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Don't be sorry. Do you know what the rabbi said to me as he was about to cut the garment? He said, "Stand up, Rebecca. Stand up to meet your affliction."
Rebecca, I can't bear it any longer.
No, you mustn't speak, please.
But all I'm trying to tell you...
Don't you think I know, Samuel? I think a woman always knows when a man loves her. Even my mother knew.
Did she, Rebecca? Mm. What did she say?
She said I had to decide for myself.
Have you?
Yes, Samuel. I've decided. I've decided that I love you with all my heart. And that I can't marry you.
But you love me.
Yes. But I can't help that. And I can't help the fact that now on the Sabbath I shall be the one to light the candles.
I won't press you, Rebecca. I won't press you, but I can't accept your answer. Shouldn't have spoken now. But, Rebecca, I'm going to speak again.
There are those who can be eloquent on their own suffering, and for them the pain is mitigated, for they console themselves with expression. But for Rebecca Gratz and Samuel Ewing, there was acquaintance with a mute, blunt-edged grief that tears the heart. They met, they sat together, they looked at one another, and they departed. And when they met again and when they spoke, there was still silence. It could not last that way. They knew it. On a raw day when the sky was a single cloud to the horizon, Rebecca Gratz and Samuel Ewing met once again.
Rebecca, I'm speaking now. I'm asking you to marry me.
Samuel, I can't abandon my faith.
I'm asking you again, Rebecca.
Samuel, the sun will go down by itself without my assistance, but my faith depends on me.
Well?
Don't you see? Mine is an ancient tradition, so ancient, Samuel. Don't you think it's worth preserving?
It separates us.
Not as human beings.
I hate things that separate people.
Do you hate your own religion? It separates you from me.
I don't want to argue, Rebecca. We're alike.
Oh, where in the world are two things alike? Are there two blades of grass? Are there two grains of sand exactly alike? And yet, is the world worse off for these differences?
Rebecca, stop being a philosopher. I want to marry you.
I can't.
I knew it would be like this. I hoped for weeks and months. But I knew. It's like the thing you told me when your mother died and they cut your garments for the time of mourning.
You remember that?
Yes, Rebecca, I remembered. Rise and stand to meet affliction. Go forth to meet it.
Samuel.
I thought of everything, spoke to my father, racked my head for a solution. If you won't enter my faith, I could...
Enter mine. Samuel, you're as steeped in your father's tradition as I am in mine. You'd never be happy, no. A Jew may not proselytize. To seek converts is forbidden. I remember a phrase I heard from the rabbi. The righteous of all nations shall have part in the rewards of the future world.
You should marry a rabbi, Rebecca.
Oh, no, don't be bitter. I can stand anything but not your bitterness.
I've made you cry. I'm sorry. When your eyes are wet this way, it's like the shining of your Sabbath candles. All right, Rebecca. All right. I'll take you back to your house.
And Samuel Ewing returned Rebecca Gratz to the house she had never left. There is no wound so deep in the living flesh that it cannot heal. The years passed, and Samuel Ewing remained her friend. Then in the year 1810, he came to see her.
Congratulations, Samuel.
You know?
Yes. Elizabeth told me. I'm glad you're marrying my friend.
I've told her about you.
You shouldn't have done that.
It was no more than right. I'm very fond of Elizabeth. I hope I'll be a good husband.
You will be.
You'll come to the wedding. I've always wanted Rebecca Gratz to be at my wedding.
Yes, I'll come, Samuel. Of course I'll come.
Does he really look like me, Rebecca?
It's hard to tell. I should say he looks more like a vegetable.
He does that. Elizabeth and I, well, we thank you for the gift. He'll be handsome in it.
I have another gift for him.
Oh?
May I, Samuel?
Yes, of course. Look, he likes to be held.
Yes. When I was a child and my father had returned from the synagogue on Sabbath, he would place his hands on our heads and bless us this way. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Thank you, Rebecca. Rebecca, why don't you marry?
Have you seen our new rabbi?
Yes. Does he want to marry Rebecca?
I don't know.
You'll forgive my saying so, but Rabbi Leeser isn't a very handsome man.
You know, I'm a very tactless woman. Once I wondered aloud how so much wisdom could be entrusted to such an ugly body.
Oh, that was tactless.
Yes.
What did your rabbi say?
He smiled. Then he asked, Rebecca, he said, what kind of vessel does your father keep his wine in? A common earthen vessel, I answered. He smiled again. Why doesn't he keep the wine in a container of precious metal?
Why, it'd get sour.
That's what I told him.
I suppose he has an answer.
An answer from the Talmud. Wisdom is safest with ugliness. For beauty is a provocation to vanity. And vanity is the enemy of wisdom.
Well, will you marry him?
No, Samuel. I'm an old spinster, set in my ways, fond of my own privacy. I'll just stay as I am and hope for the best.
That isn't good enough, Rebecca.
Thank you. But there's the orphanage and the nursery, and I'm thinking of organizing a Sunday school. It isn't much, Samuel, but it will keep me.
It was like Rebecca Gratz not to run away, to seek no retreat from life. She entered into all the struggles of her society and her world. And somehow she became purified in the moral climate she created. She was a seed planted in fertile soil, and her roots were a faith in her tradition. And many hundreds of miles away, Sir Walter Scott sensed this from my story. Whatever else Ivanhoe is, Sir Walter has written her enduring monument in the last chapter of his novel.
Among our people, since the time of Abraham, have been women who contributed their thoughts to heaven and their actions to works of kindness to men, tending the sick, feeding the hungry, and relieving the distressed. Among these will Rebecca be numbered. Say this to thy Lord, should he chance to inquire after the fate of her whose life he saved.
Rebecca of York and Rebecca of Philadelphia. Centuries separated, yet the same. And in the fullness of her years, Rebecca Gratz died and was gathered to her people.
I, Rebecca Gratz, being in sound health of body and mind and advanced in years, declare this to be my last will and testament. I commit my spirit to the God who gave it, relying on his mercy and redeeming love, and believing with a fine and perfect faith in the religion of my father. Eviti Adonai, Benegdi Tamid. I have kept the Lord before me ever.
Copies of the script you have just heard, including the talk which follows immediately, may be obtained free of cost by writing to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. And now we present Dr. Alexander M. Dushkin, Executive Director of the Jewish Education Committee of New York. Dr. Dushkin.
As we Jews of America become increasingly conscious of ourselves as a community with historic roots in this land, we begin to focus our attention upon the heroic figures who have made American Jewish history. In our Hall of Fame, no small place will be assigned to the noble role played by Jewish women, such as Rebecca Gratz, Emma Lazarus, Rebecca Kohut, and the greatest of them, Henrietta Zoe. Rebecca Gratz lived in the formative period of American history, from 1781 to 1869. Hers was a family of builders who shared in the making of America. Her voluminous, gracefully written letters cannot comment intimately on American history in the making. Her personal influence and charm are best indicated by the place accorded her in English literature. For it was in a broad love of humanity, her deep understanding tolerance, her proud and courageous Jewish piety, that Walter Scott found the trace for immortalizing his Rebecca of Ivanhoe. But Rebecca Gratz will be remembered most for what she herself achieved as a pioneer in American Jewish education. As organizer of the Hebrew Sunday School Society in 1838, and as a superintendent for over 25 years, she was probably the first American-born Jew to devote herself professionally to the work of teaching Jewish children. Hitherto, all the teachers of American Jewry had come from Europe, and in the teachings they follow the classic Hebraic tradition as expressed in the Orthodox ritual either of the Spanish-Portuguese Jews or of the German Jews. Rebecca Gratz came under the influence of the American Protestant Sunday School Union, in those days a benevolent organization for the education of the poor. She changed the conduct of Jewish education by teaching the Bible in English rather than in Hebrew, and by teaching on Sundays, the only day that poor children were then free from work and could, as she put it, learn religion and good manners. But while originally a benevolent school for the poor, the Sunday school soon became the normal religious school for American children, especially when the rapid growth of the public school system made supplementary religious education necessary. Today, in our generation, the Sunday school is considered as an adequate educational instrument. It offers no real solution to the problem of providing religious cultural training to American children. Both Christian and Jewish educators are dissatisfied with it and are struggling to supplement it or else to find more satisfactory types of religious schooling, which shall teach the historic religions adequately and yet not undo what the common public school system and the separation of state and church have achieved in the shaping of the national character of America. While the solution which Rebecca Gratz and her generation offered no longer satisfies us, we are nevertheless guided by the same basic quest, which is to give our children a complete and integrated education as Americans and as Jews.
Thank you, Dr. Dushkin. Eternal Light is written by Morton Wishengrad. The original music is composed by Henry Brandt and conducted by Milton Catums. The soloist is cantor Robert H. Siegel of the Beacon Street Temple, Brookline, Massachusetts. Featured today were Charlotte Holland as Rebecca Gratz and Edwin Cooper as the narrator. The entire production was under the direction of Ira Avery. Free copies of the script, write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. This program is a public service presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations in cooperation with the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This program came to you from our Radio City studios in New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company. Present.